Thank you. Appreciate the good singing, men. And choir, you always do a fantastic job. Appreciate you being back in the service tonight or this afternoon. Better get used to saying that or I'll say the wrong thing all afternoon. I want you to turn your Bible to Psalm 100. Psalm 100 this afternoon, please. And you'll know this psalm. You've heard it 1,000 times. You've probably learned it and quoted it. And I think it is a wonderful reminder of how thoughtful we should be of the goodness of God. And the Bible said in Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Now, again, as we sing, we ought to remember that's what we're doing. It's not about how talented you are. It's not about fame. It's not about accolades. It is our way, one of the ways we worship God, we praise God in our song. Verse number 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Man, how comforting that is to know that God is good. And even though sometimes we mentioned it this morning, we don't feel he's good, right? We look at circumstance, we say, well, he's not, we question that. The Bible tells us he's good. In this verse, the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endure to all generations. So therefore, we know that if the Lord is good and the Lord is true, right? That when the Bible says he's good, then therefore we can know he's good. We don't have to feel he's good. And I want to preach just a few minutes this afternoon on this thought, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. We need to mention that more. We need to think on that more. We need to say it more. The Lord is good. And, you know, we'll say, we're all guilty. I'm guilty of it. When something happens that is beneficial to us, we'll say this. We'll say the Lord is good. You know, and people say this all the time. He's good, right? And so we ought to keep that in mind because everything's not going to go our way. And so if the Lord is good in those good times, he's good in the bad times. And so really once a year, we have a day set aside to thank, right? That's what it is, Thanksgiving Day. And I'm thankful for the turkey, aren't you? And I'm thankful for all the fixings and trimmings. But really that day is set aside as a nation to give thanks to God. And so we know every day should be a day of giving thanks. I get that. I preach that. I've heard it preached, you know, why set aside one day? Well, it's not that that one day is more important than the other 364, but it does remind us to give thanks. And so here, there are many things we should be thankful for each day. And you know this, our job, our home, our friends, our church, the fact that we live in America, our health, and most of all, Jesus. We ought to be thankful for those things. And I think deep down we are. Sometimes we just have trouble verbalizing it. And sometimes, let's be honest, we just get our eyes off of things that are important and we'll focus on things that aren't as important. And so when a person is thankful, he doesn't complain. When you're thankful for the food you have, we don't complain. When we're thankful for the house we have, we don't complain. And I know, I get it, things come up and they catch us off guard and kind of take the wind out of our sail. But, you know, if you meet somebody that is a constant complainer, they're not thankful. But we're all prone, I get this, we're all prone when things don't go right to complain. And the Holy Ghost of God deals with our heart and says, hey, you shouldn't be complaining, and we repent and move on. Well, I get that. So I'm not saying that if we've ever complained, we're not thankful, but I'm talking about that person that is just kind of who they are. That's their attitude. Nothing's ever good enough. So give thanks to the Lord, not because of the good things that he did or does, but the Bible tells us we're to give thanks because he is good. And so when I look at this scripture, I see a few things I'll share with you. Number one, in verse number one, it deals with our praise. Notice the Bible said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. So in this, it is a voluntary praise. You know what? The angels were created to praise God. They were created to magnify the Lord. You and I have a choice. We have free will. And so therefore, the Bible tells us in verse 1 that we are to make that choice. Make a joyful noise. You can sit in church and not ever sing if you want to. You can sit in church and never raise your hand. You can sit in the church and never say amen. You can sit in church and never testify. But listen, somehow you need to make a joyful noise. Maybe it's in your personal life. Maybe it's where you work. But the fact is, the Bible tells us that we are to make a joyful noise, and therefore it is our choice to make it. If we don't make it, then it tells me we're disobedient, because the Bible says make. It is commanding us to do that, but it is our free choice whether or not we do it. So this is something that we should do. Amen? Hey, we praise everything else. We praise everybody else. The Lord deserves our praise. So God will not force us to do it. Isn't that good? You know what? That's what I appreciate so much about the Lord. You have to choose to serve Him. You have to choose to praise Him. He does not implement it on you. He doesn't force it on you. He doesn't tell you, listen, you don't have a choice in the matter. That we have free will. And so I would much rather have someone like me because they choose to like me than force them because of a position. And so the fact that we will praise God under our own free will means, I believe, much more to Him because we're choosing to do that. We recognize the goodness of God. So it's voluntary praise, but then the Bible said it should be universal praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, not just America, not just the Baptist church, not just Currytown Baptist Church, not just the preacher and his family, but the Bible said that we are to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. All people should thank and praise the Lord. It's got to start with God's people. Listen, if you can't find something to praise God for, regardless of what side of the tracks you grew up on, regardless of the color of your skin, regardless of, you know, your economic situation, you got something to praise God for. And so therefore, all people should thank and praise God. All of creation should praise their Creator. The birds do it. Amen. Listen, they're not singing for your glory, by the way. They're singing for His glory, right? Hey, listen, this afternoon, when's the last time you just got just had a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost thanking spell where you just got to where you couldn't help but thank God? And I promise you, if you'll start it, right, if you'll get it started, God will help you out with some stuff. How many times you ever started really confessing sin? I'm not talking about one of those, Lord, if I've sinned, right? That's the Baptist way of confession. Lord, if I've sinned, you forgive me. No, He's not interested in that. He's interested in you recognizing what you did. Amen? He's interested in you recognizing your sin and confessing it to Him. So it's the same thing with being thankful. Listen, God already knows what He's done for you. So you get in this, well, Lord, I guess if I had to think of something, you're missing the point. When you start looking at how God has blessed you and your family, and you get that thing started, all of a sudden the Holy Ghost will start reminding you of stuff you didn't even think about, amen? When you got up this morning, praise God, and you had water, and you turned, listen, you don't believe that's true? You go up and go up and stay with the Seaver family when they got to get someone to pump their water in and put it in this big gallons drum. I was telling our brother-in-law yesterday, I said, yeah, the place we stayed, they had to have water brought to them. He said, you mean like LeBlue water? I said, no, like a big water truck had to come in and put water in their water tank because they couldn't dig a well. Now, praise God, when you go in there and you start lifting up that spigot there, that faucet, and all of a sudden water comes out, man, maybe you ought to have you a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost thanking spell to say, God, I thank you. I ain't got to go out to a river and dip it out with a bucket and carry it a mile to the house. And when you go in there and you flip that thing on the hot water and you got hot water coming out, hello? You thank God you didn't have to take a cold shower this morning? Now, I know when you got a bunch of people in the house, it's a whole lot easier when the hot water runs out to complain about it, isn't it? Well, we take for granted you had hot water at all. You start getting the idea of start thanking God for the little things, all of a sudden he'll start bringing some stuff up you didn't even think about. Pray, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hey, it wouldn't be hard to come to church and sing if we were thankful, would it? The praise, it ought to be voluntary. It ought to be universal praise. All people should thank and praise the Lord. All of creation should praise their Creator. Number two, you see in verse 2, the Psalms. The Bible said, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. So Psalms is a song. And so the Bible tells us here that we are to serve the Lord with gladness. So we show Him that gratitude in our service. Let me ask you this. How are you serving the Lord? Just showing up church isn't serving the Lord. Now, you may not have a ministry in the church necessarily, but maybe there is another way that you are serving the Lord. So my question is, if we're going to really enjoy the things of God, if we're going to praise Him, we got to serve Him, right? And service starts not in action, service starts with the heart. You're never going to serve God externally until you submit to Him internally. Amen? And so serving the Lord with gladness, not grumbling, not praise God, I got to get up and go to church, not I got to go to Sunday school, not I got to work a bus route. When we get thankful, all of a sudden we'll see that it is a privilege. You know what's interesting to me? You'll hear it. When people serve in government, and the president says, listen, they could have the greatest job in the world, Brother Jimmy. They could be an attorney or doctor or whatever it is. And all of a sudden the president says, hey, listen, I want you to serve in my administration. They'll say, it's my responsibility to the country. It is a privilege, right? It is a privilege to serve my country. And here it is, watch. They serve at the discretion of the president. Now, I want to say this, folks. Listen, it's more of a privilege to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It is. It's not a burden, hallelujah. It's a blessing. So maybe you and I need to rethink and get rewired on this thing. You don't got to, you get to. Listen, God could use anybody, anything He wants to, but He chooses to use us. Maybe what Currytown Baptist Church, we can show Him our thanksgiving by all of us getting plugged in and saying, God, how can I serve You? Hey, I'm willing. I'm here. I'm willing and able. And whatever it is You want me to do, if it's go out and sweep the parking lot, if it's You want me to go to the mission field, if You want me to teach Sunday school, if You want me to work in the nursery, whatever it is my privilege to serve at Your discretion to do and serve at Your pleasure. It's not my life, it's Yours. When I got saved and I got born again and He bought me with a price, I relinquished the ownership of my life to Him to put me anywhere He wants to. I don't have a say in it, hallelujah. I'm either going to be obedient or disobedient. He tells me to stay at this church for 1,000 years, I'll stay till Jesus comes. If He tells me to go, I got to go. Same with you, hallelujah. If He wants you on the bus, get on the bus. If He wants you in the choir, get, but I don't really feel like it. Who cares how you feel? Man, my feelings change. I don't feel like going to church half the time. You know what's interesting, Brother Gary? I get up early every morning. I get up, I jump out of bed most mornings, just about every morning. I get me a cup of coffee. I feel like $1 million till Sunday comes around. And I'll get up a little bit later, and it feels like a truck has run over me in the night. I feel sick, amen, headache. I wake up every Sunday morning, Brother Ken, I'm ready to go get a COVID test. And it's funny, though, get up, drag myself on in the church house. I'm not talking about dragging in like 15 minutes after Sunday school starts, by the way. Amen. I'm talking about, I'm here at 7. I don't expect you to be here at 7. I'm just saying I'm here at 7. But it's amazing what happens. The longer I'm here, the better I feel. And I believe it is the devil trying to discourage me, and you're probably the same way. And once I make that decision, say, you know what, you're not winning this one. I may not feel like $1 million, but praise God, I don't feel like a negative million either. And you just roll on in the church house, not with a bad attitude, by the way. And all of a sudden, things start clicking. Something in the song, something in the Sunday school hour. By the way, if you're not here for Sunday school, you don't get that Sunday school hour. Something in the congregational singing, something in the instrumental, something God reminds you of. I'm glad I came to church today. And you know what's going to happen? About a week later, you're going to go through the same thing. Probably Sunday night, you're going to go through the same thing, right? We got to serve the Lord, not with madness, gladness. That's what the Bible said in verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. You say, oh, I'm glad to serve the Lord. Tell your face once in a while. Your face looks like you've been playing with sharp lawnmower blades or something. I mean, we need to get to the, we enjoy serving God. Listen, if you don't enjoy serving God in this life, what are you going to do in the next one? So we're to serve the Lord with gladness. Serving God is a joyful experience. It is a pleasure, not an obligation. When you get to the place it's fun, it's okay to enjoy serving God. It's okay to have fun. Some of you need to have some fun. You need to enjoy serving God. Just have some fun with it. You don't have to be serious about everything. Now don't be silly. But serving God is enjoyable. Not only do you see the service in Psalms, verse 2 says also that we are to come before his presence with singing. Come before his presence with singing. When we are thankful, there is a song in our heart. How many times you driving down the road, and by the way, you're not going to probably get that listening to your country station, right? Probably not going to get that listening to classic rock. Sometimes we have to have a little bit of quiet to meditate, and God puts a song in our heart, and we start humming it, we start singing it. Sometimes we don't even sing the right words, but hallelujah, he knows it anyway. Then when it's the song in our heart, it manifests out in verbal praise, right? So we see the Psalms. Number 3, we see the people in verse 3. Know ye that the Lord is good. He is He is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So we're thankful for his help. Bible said here that he has made us. Do you get that? I know you do intellectually, but do you realize without God we wouldn't even be here? I mean, the very fact that you were born is a miracle. The hand of God was in it. He knew you before you ever came to this earth, before you were ever born, he knew you. And if he knew you, the fact that you were born into this life means that he's got a plan for you. He's got a purpose for you. And when we think about that, we ought to think that the Lord, he is God. That he's not a God, he is the God. And if he is the God, then you and I, he's the only one that deserves any kind of praise. We don't need to be praising everybody. I'm so sick of seeing these athletes and these, they'll say, oh, did you hear so-and-so did this? And did you hear so-and-so did that? I could care less. They're making millions, tens of millions of dollars to play a game that we all played for free because we loved it growing up. And now all of a sudden, people care what they have to say. And I believe this, I'd rather hear a kid get up here and talk about, oh, how I love Jesus, than I would somebody that has never had, to hardly do anything. They act like they know everything. Listen, folks, we need to quit idolizing everybody and just give praise to God. He's the only one who deserves it. And that's what he's trying to tell us. He is God, not a God. He is the God. And so here we are to be thankful for his help. God owes us nothing this afternoon. We don't deserve anything God gives us, but I'm thankful that he is our helper. God gives us good things. Not only that, we ought to be thankful for our heritage. Notice what the Bible said. It is he that hath made us and not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. That talks about our heritage. My friend, we are part of the family of God. You get that? You're not, you used to be a fat part of the family of the devil, but the moment you got saved, the moment you got born again, you became joint heirs with Christ. And so this afternoon, we are part of his family. We are the family of God because of the goodness of God. Listen, you know what? Watch this. When you were born to your mom and daddy, you didn't have a choice in the matter. When you got born again, you chose him and he chose you because of the goodness of God. He took you and me when we had nothing to offer him. In other words, we were, Brother Jody, we were the sole beneficiaries of this relationship. We had nothing to give God. And you know what he asked for? Very little. He asked us to praise him. Matter of fact, New Testament, if I'm wrong, I've said it before, the only sacrifice I see in the New Testament is the sacrifice of our praise. Everything else, according to the Bible, is reasonable service. Man, I got up and came to afternoon service. Great. But you, listen, reasonable service. I get up and read my Bible every morning. That's not a sacrifice. Reasonable service. I run a bus. Whatever you do for the Lord, it's not some great sacrifice. It is reasonable service. The very minimum we can do for how good God's been to us. So that we offer our sacrifice of praise. Man, if you can't praise God, huh? So this afternoon, we're thankful for our heritage that we are part of the family of God. Verse number 4, look at the pattern. The Bible said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. So notice in verse 4, here's what he says. We're to enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. Not grumbling. Right? Not complaining. When you come to the Lord, right, when you enter to him, when you approach him, what's your prayer life look like? Most of the time we go straight into the asking, don't we? We hadn't even got our head bowed good to it. Now, Lord, we don't even ask him to forgive us. We don't even spend much time asking. Listen, confessing sin, right? Most time we hit the ground running, baby. Woo! Lord, here's what I need. Check. Lord, here's what I need. Huh? Here's my prayer list. Now, I'm going to go on to what Brother Jose needs. Bam, 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 bam. What Brother Jimmy needs. Bam, bam, bam. When do you praise him? When do you take time just to say, when's the last time any of us has gone to the Lord and never asked him for one thing? Never complained about one thing. You ever met anybody when you see their number pop up, you go, oh no. And you're done talking to them, your ear's about three times the size of your head, because all they do is wah, 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 complain, right? And it's usually the same ones. I mean, you got them in your family. You got friends like this. You just see their number. You know it's going to be an hour of what is wrong with America, the world, you, the job, health, right? You're like, I don't have time for this. Sometimes I think the guy that invented text was a saved man, loved Jesus. I know the guy that invented voicemail was. But then there's other people, when they call you and you see their number, you're going, this will be encouraging. This will help me. Huh? They're going to give me something, right? They're going to give me a nugget when I call, when I answer this phone. They're going to help me, lift me up, edify me, whatever it is. You know, got people like that too? See, we got these, but we got these too. When's the last time you just, when you went to the Lord, it was just about thanking him? Maybe that's what Thursday should be about. Maybe it's what today should be about. Maybe it's what tomorrow should be about. Lord, I'm not really coming asking for anything. I just want to thank you for some things. I just want to thank you. for some things. That's how it says here, we're to enter into his gates. Then into his courts with praise. You ever just go in there and when you pray, just start naming him, talking about his attributes, talking about how he is truth, and he is good, and he is God. You ever just spent time? Because you know, watch this, he already knows who he is. And when you enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, he's reminding you, because there'll be a time in your life where you're going to need that. When you're going to, the wheels have fallen off of your cart, the walls are crumbling in your world, and you're going to need to know that there is a God in heaven that loves you, that is all powerful, that is all knowing, that has not left you. So sometimes we just got to come in there in thanksgiving, enter into his courts with praise, be thankful unto him, bless his name. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Because we always talk about the Lord blessing us. But we ought to bless his name. We ought to spend some time exalting his name, talking about his name, making much of his name. The pattern is thanksgiving, praise, blessing, right? Look at verse 5. For the Lord is good. We're to do 1 through 4 because of verse 5. Verse 5 is saying, listen, you do all this, here's the reason, for the Lord is good. Oh, but there's some things, it's hard for me to praise him because there's some things going on in my life. I just can't. No, you don't praise him because of that. You praise him because the Bible said, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth to all generations. So we are to thank him for his goodness, right? We're to praise him because he's good. And if all you praise him for is because he does good, what happens when in your mind he's not done good? He's still good. If you're going to praise him like we talked about this morning, we're going to thank him in all circumstances. You know what we got to do? We just have to know that God is good. And it's more than just saying it. God is good all the time. All the time God's good. Okay, great. You said it. But now prove it, right? Prove it. Live your life like God really is who he says he is. And not only that, that means something to you. Little phrases don't do a thing. Laboring for God means something. Praising him means something. Speaking of him means something. So we're to thank him for his goodness. Thank him for his mercy. I think sometimes, Brother Jose, we don't really see ourselves like we should see ourselves. We're not all that good. I mean, you know. You ever met, you parents will get this, that have had kids that play ball. And you got those parents. Playing ball would be great if it wasn't for parents. And they really think their kid is like, you know, he's in Little League. They think he's major league material. And they spent thousands of dollars on the best bats and the best gloves and send him to all these special instructors. And, you know, they sponsor the team. They do all that stuff. And they look at their little kid and they're going, he's going to be the next A-Rod. This poor kid couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat. But they don't want to come to the reality that maybe baseball or football or basketball, that ain't him, right? That is not what he's gifted at doing. But they're trying to force him into that mold, right? Well, that's the way a lot of Christians are. as a coach, I could look at a kid and I could say, well, you know what? He's not that good. I mean, you know, he's a good kid, but as a ball player, he's probably never going to be exceptional, right? Some of them weren't even going to be good. I mean, they could, you know, you put the ball on the tee and they couldn't hit it. But that's okay. Everybody's not a baseball player. It doesn't mean they're a bad kid or they're not going to be great at something else. But you just got to figure that out, right? Well, that's the way a lot of Christians are. They think they're super duper Christians and they're super duper great people and they're, you know, walk on water and they're not seeing themselves as God sees them. And we're all prone to that, aren't we? And so, if we're not honest, sometimes we think we get the raw end of the stick. We think we're getting a raw deal by serving God because we think we deserve, right, more. You know what's interesting to me? Now, everything is a right. You know? People say things like this. Listen, I have a right to know. What does that mean? Where is that in your God-given rights that you have a right to know something, right? I have a right to vacation because I work 40 hours a week. No, you don't. I mean, there's nothing that says you've got to have it. It's nice to have, right? I think you ought to have one. But it's nothing that in our laws that say it is your right to have a vacation or because you breathe good air, you know, you get this, this, or this. It's just not. So because we have been pushed into that where everything is your right because you breathe God's good air, we think that everybody owes us something. And that includes God. I'm here. I'm a child of God. I've accepted you as my Savior, and so therefore nothing bad should ever happen to me. Wake up to the real world. Well, I'm a Christian. I should never have any problems, da, 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 because, you know, I don't go out to clubs on Saturday night, and I don't drink, and I don't smoke dope, and, you know, I'm not the best Christian I know of, but I'm not the worst. So I have a right to be happy, right? You ever heard that? People, I have a right to be happy. No, you don't. See, we need to get off all this, my rights, and look at the privileges we get. Because when you start looking at it that you really don't deserve anything but hell, now all of a sudden anything God gives you above that, you're going, well, I'm thankful for that. When we have this entitled mindset, and I'm not talking about just society, I'm talking about with our Christianity. We're almost at the point as Christians where we think that God owes us one of those supernatural movings of God because we show up. What kind of preparation do we make to meet with Him? Now, I get it. You don't have to come to church to meet with God. Right? But as a church, this is the time that we worship together. What preparation has been made today? How much prayer? Or did we just get up, stroll in, say, okay, choir, hit a home run if you can. All right, preacher, try to keep me awake in the afternoon service if you can. Right? I'm tired. I'm missing my nap for this. Okay, what's more important? Your stinking nap or? When we have the right mindset, when we understand the Lord is good, that nothing that we have we deserve, then thanksgiving becomes an attitude. Becomes, I'm not saying we don't, but Jay, I'm not saying that we never fall off the path. But if the only time you really are thankful is one day or one week a year, maybe there needs to be some assessment. This ought to be a reminder that from here to next year, I need to be finding things, not even really finding, just remembering how good God's been. So, the Lord is good. And if He's good, and we're not good, maybe we ought to praise Him more than we do. It's one thing to have testimony service in church. It's another to have it out there where it's needed. If He's really who, if He in your life is who you say He is, it will change you. And I get it. I'm not saying, don't misunderstand me, that there's some of us that walk on water that never mess up, and then there's others, and if you're not doing this, you're scum. We're all prone to get to the place we forget how good God is to us. We just need to remember. Let's stand together. Let's stand by our heads, and the altar's open this afternoon. If you need it, the Lord spoke to your heart, you just come on, remind God. Maybe He reminded you of some things this afternoon. You just want to thank Him for it. Maybe you've got to come and honestly, He's reminded you of some things in your life that are hindering your walk with Him, your fellowship with Him, and you've got to get those confessed. Whatever it is, listen, you mind the Lord this afternoon.